We're doing Habakkuk, we're up to what's called the first chapter, and we're up to the 10th Pasuk. The Navi had turned to Hashem in wonderment over the great destruction that Nebuchadnezzar would be allowed to wreck in the land of Israel, the number of people he'd be allowed to kill. And the Navi turns in questioning to Hashem, how could you let this happen? Our sages say that just as Eov spent all his chapters wondering about how Hashem runs the world, Habakkuk summed it up in his short work here. So Habakkuk is continuing in his description of the might of the Babylonian Empire, and Habakkuk says in Pasuk Yud, "V'hu ba'melachim yitkalas ve'rozenim mischak lo." And he laughs at kings. Nebuchadnezzar is so successful that he mocks the other kings. And all those people who are officers and politicians, in his eyes, they're all a game. He laughs at them. Hu lechol mivtzar yischak v'yitzbor rafar v'yilkedah. Any fortification that he sees, he laughs at, because he just has his soldiers, his tremendous army. Each one takes a bucket full of earth, and in a matter of minutes, they raise the earth over the walls. Meaning, each soldier would just take a bucket, throw the dirt, and in a matter of minutes, they could just have a ramp that leads up to the city. So when he'd see any fortification, he'd laugh at it. Vayitzbor afar, he just piles up the dirt. Vayilkedah, and he captures the city. Az chalaf ruach vayavo v'ashem. When he sees he is so successful, so then chalaf ruach, his spirit, so to speak, changes from the truth, and he thinks that, it is my power that has made me successful. Vayavo v'ashem, and he passes from the true thoughts that Hashem has given him this success, v'ashem, and he becomes even more wicked, and states, Zechocho leiloho, all this might comes from the idols that I've been worshipping. He attributes his success to his pagan beliefs. Halo atam mikedim, Adonai Elohai Kiddushi lo namut. But Hashem, he says, you're the one, I know, you're the one that runs the show from the very beginning. And lo namut, over here there's different approaches to what the Navi is saying. One understanding is that he's turning to Hashem, and he doesn't want to say it about Hashem, so he says it about us. He says, I know we won't die. Really what he means to say is, Hashem, I know you're everlasting. You're never going to die. But he doesn't want to word it that way, so like Rashi calls it tikkun sofrim, he says, lo namut, we won't die. That's Rashi's interpretation. Others interpret that the Navi says, I know that he will not be successful in annihilating the Jewish people. That lo namut is the way it's written. I know that we won't ultimately be wiped out. Yes.
He said Moshe Rabbeinu was like the one who spoke to Hashem, just to Hashem. So how does it work that like when one of the Nevi'im would get like prophecy, that they were actually able then to ask questions back and start to have a dialogue with Hashem? If what they saw was like a chazon, I don't understand.
So he saw a vision of the imminent destruction, and then he turned in his he turned to Hashem and asked his questions.
So this is a potential dialogue, you're saying?
Well, he isn't guaranteed he'll have an answer. I hope today we'll see. We'll see what he does. Moshe Rabbeinu knows that when he talks, he has an answer. And even Moshe Rabbeinu sometimes said, Hashem, but I want an answer now. Adonai lemishpat samto v'tzu leochiach yesato. Hashem, I know that you sent him to punish us. V'tzur, and you, the rock of the world, I know that lehochiach, to rebuke us, yesadto, that's the whole idea that you established him. tehor einayim mer'ot ra va'bit el amal lo yuchal. Hashem, I know you are so pure, it is beyond you to see all this evil. And you, so to speak, you can't stand to look at how people cheat one another and how people are dishonest with one another. So if so, lama tabit bogedim, why is it that you look on when these traitors are successful? Tacharish bivalarasha tzadik mimenu. How come you're silent when the wicked consume those that are more pious than they? He says, I know the Jews have sinned, but you give them in the hand of such wicked people, they're not deserving to punish us. I know we deserve to be reprimanded, but why at their hands? Why is it that Nebuchadnezzar could take the pious Tzidkiyo and gorge out his eyes, slaughter all his kids before his eyes, and then take out his eyes so that the last vision he sees is of his kids being slaughtered? Not to mention that he rapes them afterwards. Vata se adam kidgei hayam, and you've made man like the fish, just like the fish. You never find the fish uniting and fighting the fishermen. Each fish for himself, and the fishermen's up to them. They could just catch him and pluck him out of the water. You've made the human beings like fish, where they're easy prey. Kiremes lamoshel bo. You've made us like vermin. That no one's, they have no ruler. There's no one who's in charge to protect the cockroaches. Who's going to watch you from stepping on the cockroach that runs across the hall? No one. And that's how we've become, Habakkuk says. Now we're like fish. We're people who can pick us, kill us, step on us. And it's as though, Hashem, you're not involved. How could you look from a distance and not get involved? How could you be so silent when things are so terrible? People ask this about the Holocaust. People ask this about different things they've had throughout Jewish history. And the truth is that Habakkuk already asked the question. Kulo b'chakai ala yegoreyu b'chermo v'yaspehu b'mich marto. The fisherman picks up all the fish that he wants in his net, and he gathers it in with the different nets and traps that he has. Al kein yismach v'yagil, and so he is so happy, he rejoices. Al kein yizabeach lechermo v'kater lemich marto, and so the fisherman, he sacrifices, he burns incense in honor of the traps that he used to catch the fish. So to Nebuchadnezzar, he attributes his success to his own might. I know you run the show, Hashem. But I also know that you're silent in the face of such destruction, such wickedness. And Nebuchadnezzar goes back and sacrifices to what he attributes his strength to. He sacrifices to his idols, to his different the temples that he worships in. He assumes it's all his might. Kivahema shamein chelko umachalo biriya. Because it is with these tools, it is with these nets that his lot is so fat and that his meals are so lush. So the Navi says, like the fisherman, so too Nebuchadnezzar goes back and attributes his strength to his armies, to his idols, and you, Hashem, you stand back in silence. Ha'al kein yarik chermom. And so, is that just that this is the way it should go? Is it just that he should see such success? And when he sees he's so successful, is there any reason for him to empty out his nets, so to speak? Is there any reason for him to repent? What's to stop him? He keeps being successful, so he'll keep at it. V'tamid la'rog goyim lo yachmol. And quite the contrary, he will just continue killing nations and having no mercy over them. So Hashem, if you're not doing anything, then what's to stop him? Why shouldn't he just get worse and worse? And I know we deserve the punishment, but so then what's the question? Why is it that the wicked are overtaking the righteous? How come we're better than them, so how come they have a right to hurt us? Al mishmalti emoda vet yatzeva al matzor. And so Habakkuk says to Hashem, I am standing watch. I am waiting. Just like the watchman doesn't move from his post. The Navi says, just like people who are coming to lay siege on a city, they stand their guard. So too, I'm standing my position. I'm standing my ground, so to speak. The Navi says, I posed the question, and I'm not stepping back. I want an answer. So like you pointed out, he can ask. Who said God's going to answer? We have on tradition that at this point, Habakkuk drew a circle in the sand and said, God, I'm not stepping out of the circle till you answer me. Al mishmalti emoda, I'm standing in this watch. I'm standing in this circle. Vet yatzva al matzo, I'm standing here, so to speak, in siege. Va'at zafe lirot ma yedaber bi uma ashiv al tochachti. I want to see. I look to see what Hashem will tell me. And what I will answer all those people who come and argue with me and say, how could God's justice do this? I want to have an answer for people who ask. Vayaneini Hashem. Pasuk bet. Vayaneini Adonai vayomer. Ketov chazon uva'er al haluchot leman yarutz korebo. And so Hashem answered me and said, I'm going to give you a vision, and I want you to write it clearly, so that whoever reads it can read it swiftly and understand the answer to this question. And that's where we'll pick up next week.
We say that Hashem, He surveys everything, including the animals, right? So if a cockroach is walking on the ground, and someone were to step, as to say, He chooses which person necessarily could step on the cockroach. But at the same time, then there's this reverse idea of a lot of people that, like the clockmaker idea, that Hashem just came and He just lets the world run on its own. So, but in Judaism, we're saying that that's not true, that Hashem has everything to do with everything. But Hashem, you know, is merciful and all this, so I don't understand if there's a balance there of any type. That, like, the world runs on its own, but at the same time, certain times, because obviously this is a...
There is a discussion among the commentaries on this pasuk. We discussed last week, does Hashgacha go down to animals? How much does it extend to nations? It's a discussion. It's a discussion in Chazal. It's a discussion in the Rishonim. You're right. There is definitely the opinion in Chazal that every blade of grass has its Hashgacha, every leaf on a tree. The question is that agreed upon by everyone? Or are there different understandings as to the level of Hashgacha? It's not clear. It seems that among Chazal, among the Tanoim themselves, there was a machloket as to the level of Hashgacha when it comes to other things other than individuals. And the Rambam takes it so far as there are two questions. You mentioned the clock theory. The one question is, how much does God look at what's happening? The other question is, how much does God interfere with what's happening? Those are two different questions.
I'm saying, because Habakkuk is bringing it down now to like the reference to the levels of animals.
I didn't interpret it that way, though. You're right. There are those that interpret that he says we're like animals in that you don't interfere and anyone could do whatever they want with the animals. But I purposely didn't go that route to avoid this discussion. But once you bring it up, you are correct. There are commentaries that interpret it exactly the way you said. That was exactly Habakkuk's point. I didn't know you could pick up on that. Right, you're right. You are right. Your point is a very, very valid point. This is Dafka quoted as a source for the idea that Hashem does not interfere. You want to catch 30 fish, you could go kill 30 fish. You want to kill 50 cockroaches. That the level of Hashgacha when it comes to those creatures, some Rishonim want to say it's Hashem's Hashgacha pertains to the species. Whether the species will be extinct or not, but with each animal, not. There Hashem gave them their animalistic instinct and let them go. But again, you have that machloket tanaim, according to the Rambam, and machloket lishonim, about nature in general. Do we say that every blade of grass has its hashgacha? Or do we say, no, there's a more general Ashgaha when it pertains to things other than the human being, or maybe other than the tzaddik, or maybe other than the Jewish people? That's where the discussion revolves. It revolves around that question.
Is there extreme differences, though, to say, like, to go one way and then another Rishon and go the other way?
Yeah.
With something this important about how Hashem rules the world?
Yes, there is. The more
it's
you learn
about how high, how low, fine. You know what I'm saying? Fine. There's a middle ground, but this is how Hashem runs the world.
Right.
I'm supposed to understand if the Rishonim have a
chodesh. That's a good question.